Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, I hope not many of you relate with what I'm about to read, but listen to this. I sure have gotten old. I've had two bypass surgeries, a hip surgery, and I have new knees. I've fought cancer and diabetes. I'm half blind and so deaf I can't hear anything quieter than a jet engine. I take a dozen pills a day and they make me dizzy and subject to blackouts. I have the onset of dementia and I have poor circulation and barely can feel my hands and feet anymore. I've got a lot going against me, but I've still got this going for me. I'm still driving because I still have my keys. How many of you were behind that guy last week? Well, I like people like that who have a can-do attitude. And I like churches like that who have a can-do attitude. And I think Jesus likes them too, because Jesus is looking for a church that knows that he still has the keys. And therefore, a church that is looking for an open door. Let's continue to worship. The very first Sunday that I was back, I made a promise to you and I asked you to make a promise to me. And my promise to you was that I would do my very best every single week that we're together to bring a message from the Word of God that was both encouraging and helpful. I won't ask you to comment on whether you think I've done that or not, but I try. But what I ask you to promise in return is that you will be here and that you will bring people with you. Because if we're going to make disciples, as Jesus taught us to do, the reality is we're going to have to talk to people about Jesus. We're going to have to tell them about what we believe and who we believe in. And we're going to have to invite them to follow Jesus and to learn about Jesus with us. And part of that is going to be individual conversations. And we're going to do some things to prepare and train ourselves for that. But a big part of that is to invite them to come and gather with people of God and learn to worship him and hear about him. And so if we want this church to grow, the reality is we are going to be the ones who are going to invite people to come with us. I'm telling you that today for this reason. I'm going to finish up this sermon series that has been very focused on us, very focused on some messages that Jesus has for our church. Hasn't been as applicable maybe to outsiders. But next Sunday, I'm going to start a sermon series that acknowledges that during this time of the year, folks are talking about Jesus. And when people are talking about Jesus, I want to capitalize on that. And so we're going to talk about Jesus and some of the significance of his birth as we look at the letters that Matthew wrote us and that Mark wrote us and that John wrote us. And so I hope that you will make an effort in the next week, the next 2 and 3 weeks, during this season, to invite someone to be here with you so that they can hear about Jesus. I'll do my best to keep my part of the promise. Will you do your best to keep part of the promise? All right. Well, we have been reading the real letters of Jesus to 7 real churches. And these letters had messages for those churches. And these letters, because of the power of the Holy Spirit and his inspiration, still today have messages for this church. And today we're going to look at the message that Jesus wrote to the church in the city of Philadelphia. Philadelphia was built on a fault line. In the first century in which the letter was written, that city experienced, we have records, ancient records, that city experienced 15 different earthquakes, which meant that folks did not spend a lot of money building really big, fancy buildings in Philadelphia. You didn't do that because most likely those buildings were going to fall down. Yet in this city, there was a church that was building something that would last forever. They were becoming pillars in a holy temple that God was building that nothing will ever bring down. And with that in mind, hear the word of Jesus from Revelation chapter 3. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write. These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. I will make those who are a synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is coming, that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I hope that one thing that you have taken away from this series is that Jesus walks among his churches. Jesus keeps up with what is going on in his churches. Jesus knows and Jesus cares about his churches. In fact, Jesus cares far more about his churches than even we care about his church. And he definitely cares more about his churches than the world cares. In fact, what we hear very, very often from the world is a sentence something like this: I love Jesus, but I don't want anything to do with his church. Have you heard that? I love Jesus, but I don't want anything to do with his church. That's like saying, Jesus, I love your head, but I can't stand your body. And guys, you go home and you try that today and tell your wife, I love your face, but I could do without your body. And you see how that goes over. But Jesus is the head and we are his body. And Jesus loves his church. I heard someone say it this way, talking about this sentiment that people have about the church. They said, we want to go from the perfect Christ in Revelation chapter 1 to the perfect heaven in Revelation chapter 4. And we want to skip over the imperfect church in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. And that's true. I mean, I hear sermon series that do that. I've been tempted to do that before. Revelation is this exciting book with this great message. Let's preach Jesus in chapter 1 and then let's go to chapter 4 and finish it out. And we want to skip over, and the world wants to skip over the church. But Jesus does not skip Revelation chapter 2 and 3 because Jesus does not skip over his church, as imperfect as we are. And we are imperfect. We are sometimes messed up. But Jesus walks among his imperfect churches. Jesus loves his imperfect churches. And Jesus cares about his imperfect church for this reason. The church is the key to the mission of Christ in this world. You are the key to the mission of Christ in this world. God sent Jesus with a very specific mission, and Jesus perfectly fulfilled the will of God during his time on earth. And then he has been building a church ever since, and his church is the way that he works in the world today. You are his hands, and you are his feet. You are the key to the mission of Christ. And through the church, with all of her flaws, Jesus is building something that will last no matter what verdict the world places on the church. Jesus will have the final word about his church, and the church is going to last forever and ever and ever. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 16 that he was going to build his church. And he told them when he said that all of the powers of hell would not be able to stand against what he was building. And Satan loves to proclaim the irrelevancy of the church because he knows that through the church he is becoming irrelevant. Let that sink in. His voice is loud. His voice is constant. His voice is droning in our ears from all kinds of sources that says the church is irrelevant. And the church is imperfect. And the church is the problem with the world. And he proclaims that message because he knows that through the church, he is being made irrelevant. I mentioned in a sermon a few weeks ago that if any city could claim the title, and it's a title that Jesus gave in one of these letters, if any city could claim the title as Satan's city, that I think it could very possibly be Las Vegas. And you probably know the tagline that Las Vegas uses that encourages every kind of sin. And that is, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I want to tell you something else that's happening in Vegas. There is a Christian church in Las Vegas that is doing amazing kingdom work in that city. And every year they're baptizing over 1,000 souls and making a difference. And they have a tagline in that city too. And it says that what happens in Vegas can change the world. And I love a church that is so bold. One of the things I love about the Christian church, they are planting churches all over this nation. And they're going into the strongholds of Satan because he has the key. And because Jesus has the key. And Jesus opened a door and they went in and they're boldly making a difference in that city. They're going into the very gates of hell. Ephesians chapter 3 says his purpose was that through the church, all the rulers and powers in the heavenly world will know God's wisdom, which has so many forms. Do you understand that through the imperfect church, God is displaying his wisdom to every being in the heavenly realms? God is making a statement about him and his Son and his Spirit and his grace in the heavenly realms through the church. That God's church and this church, with all of our limitations and liabilities, with all of our blemishes and blame, with all of our faults and flaws, is building up the reputation of God even when we don't have a reputation of our own. And the church in Philadelphia had no reputation. Ephesians was the powerhouse church. Sardis had a reputation. Nobody talked about the church in Philadelphia. And Jesus said, I know that you have little strength, yet you do two things. The church in Philadelphia had little strength, yet they did two things. They kept God's word. I'm going to call that joyful obedience. And they never denied Jesus' name. Faithful witness. They didn't have much strength, but they had joyful obedience and they had faithful witness. They didn't have much strength. They didn't have much power. They didn't have much reputation, but they did two things and they did them well. They kept on keeping the word of God and they never denied Jesus' name. And we can never undervalue those two incredibly important and powerful things. I heard it put this way. The church did what they could and they said what they should. They did what they could and they said what they should. And that is the kind of church that Jesus is looking for. Do you know that in 1977, NASA launched a satellite? And it was called Voyager 1. And Voyager 1's mission was to make it all the way to Jupiter and to take pictures and send back information. And Voyager 1 accomplished that mission, and like the Energizer Bunny, just kept on going. And now, 41 years later, and 11 billion miles further, Voyager 1 is still taking pictures and sending back information. And you know what they're doing it on? An 8-track tape. How many of you have no idea what an 8-track tape is? It was this big clunky, it was before CDs and it was before cassette tapes, and it was this big clunky thing and you shoved it in and it played 8 songs. Isn't that right? Did I make that up? Yeah, it's an 8-track tape, played 8 songs. And you couldn't do much with it. You kind of had to listen all the way through, if I remember right. There was very little rewinding that took place. You certainly couldn't just pick a place and make it play right there. 8-track, I mean, early obsolete technology. No one has an 8-track tape in anything that they use today except Voyager 1. And it's still successfully accomplishing its mission. It's the furthest man-made object in space from the Earth. And your iPhone has 100,000 more power. 100,000 times more power than that little 8-track tape that's on Voyager 1. Yet, it just keeps doing what it could and saying what it should. And it keeps pursuing the mission that it was built for. And so are we. So are we. See, it's a myth that the church has to be big and powerful and famous to be effective. But it is faithfulness that is the key to fruitfulness. Keeping God's word and never denying his name. Faithfulness. Jesus tells his church, you do what you could and you say what you should, and I'll know it because I'm with you. And I'll open doors and I'll give you opportunities. But the key is knowing and believing that Jesus has the key. Because all around us, church, there are doors that are open. All around us, there are opportunities in front of us. And Jesus has the key if we have the faith to see the open door and the faithfulness to walk through it. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. There are more opportunities before us than we can even imagine. There are more open doors in front of us than we can even ask for. There are more doors than we have the faith to see, but if we will keep doing what we could and saying what we should, God will keep working through Christ and through the church to bring himself glory. And Paul is a great example of that. Paul knew about open doors. Paul looked for open doors. When Paul got back from his first missionary journey, he went to Antioch, which was the church that had sent him. And here's what it says in Acts 14. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and they reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Paul had the faith to see that open door, but he knew that just because the door was open did not mean that going through it was going to be easy. And that's something we're going to have to, we've got to realize. Just because Jesus opens doors for us does not mean that going through them is easy. In fact, Paul told the church in Corinth, he said, there's a wide open door for the great work here. He was writing to them from another city. He said, there's a wide open door for the great work here, although many oppose me. Jesus opened the door, but yet there's opposition to the church for going through the door. And so Paul encouraged the church to pray about it. And he asked the churches to pray for open doors, as he did in Colossians 4. Pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. And here's the reality. Because of the eyes of faith, Paul knew that Jesus had the keys, and he knew that Jesus opened doors, and even chains couldn't keep Paul from going through the doors. Paul had the faith to see that it was actually the chains that might be the open door. And so while Paul was in prison, in chains, God opened the door for the Praetorian Guard to hear the message. The Praetorian Guard was the personal bodyguard of Caesar. And Paul says later that because of his change, there wasn't a single member of that guard who did not hear about Jesus Christ. Open doors. Satan kept trying to close those doors. Satan kept making it harder to go through those doors. But Satan doesn't have the key to the doors. Jesus does. And what he opens, no one can shut. But too many churches act like Jesus, act like Satan has the keys. Too many churches act like Satan has the keys. And therefore they make feeble efforts. And they hide behind their four walls. And they get feeble results. But Satan doesn't hold the keys. Jesus does. And that's why we need to remember the very first lesson in this series. The very first lesson I preached, it was about Jesus. And it was about the vision of Jesus that John paints in Revelation chapter 1. Because a church's vision will never be greater than her vision of Jesus. A church's vision will never be greater than the vision of Jesus. Because we serve the one who is, and who was, and who is to come. We serve the ruler of the kings of all the earth. We serve the one who is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and he is the last. He is the Almighty. He is a vision of fire and light. He is a sound of rushing waters. He is the living one. He was dead, but now he is alive and he will live forever and ever. And he holds the keys. The keys to what? The keys to everything. And Jesus is in the house. And because he's in the house, there is nothing that this house can't do. And since there is no door that will not open to him, there is no door that will not open to his church. And so, folks, we need bold, bold vision and bold, bold faith. Because if we can go through a door on our own effort, without any faith, then I don't believe it's a door that Jesus has opened. Because the faith that makes sense in the end is the kind of faith that makes no sense at the time. I want to say that again. The faith that makes sense in the end is the kind of faith that makes no sense at the time. It made no sense for a 100-year-old man to believe that his 90-year-old wife could have a baby. It made no sense for a little boy to think he could take on a giant with his slingshot. It made no sense for a prophet of God to stand in front of 750 prophets and call down fire from God. It made no sense for a disciple to step out of the boat and try to walk on the water. And it made no sense at all for a Savior to die. But the kind of faith makes sense at the end, makes no sense at the time. It makes no sense for a 110-year-old church to think there is life still left. It makes no sense for a church with declining numbers to think that they can do much for the kingdom of God in this city. It makes no sense to dream big when some say that we should just die gracefully. But Jesus holds the keys and Jesus opens the doors, and our task is twofold. You ready? Remain faithful. Keep the word of God and never deny his name. Can you do that? Can you raise your hand if you can do that? Remain faithful, church. Remain faithful and keep the word of God and never, ever deny the name of Jesus. And the second thing we got to do is we got to pray. And we got to pray like we have never prayed before. And we got to pray, and then we got to pray some more. And when we're done, we got to keep praying. Can we be faithful and can we pray? Yes. Jesus holds the keys. Jesus opens the door. He's looking for a church who knows he has the keys and is ready to go through the open door. And the churches that do, the churches that are faithful, are the churches that will be fruitful. Because Jesus is standing in front of us. And we just need to keep praying. And so I want us to pray. And then we're going to sing a few songs with words that just remind us. We're going to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. See, I think it's important that what we need to do is we need to look for Jesus and he'll show us the open door. I know it's kind of getting into semantics, but we don't need to be looking for the open door. We need to be looking for Jesus and he'll open the door. We need an image and a vision of Jesus in all of his glory. And we need to pursue Jesus, and the door will be evident to us. And so we're going to pray for our eyes to be fixed on Jesus. We're going to pray boldly. Back in September, when this church took 24 hours to pray together and fasted together, there was a card that was handed out. And it was a way to pray. And I want to encourage you to go find that card. And if you don't have it, I'm going to get some more cards printed this week and we'll make them available. But I want us to keep praying together in unity, these kinds of prayers. Prayers that are fixed on Jesus. Prayers that are asking Jesus to open doors for us. And prayers that are asking Jesus that we will have the faith to walk through the open doors that he provides to us. So I want to ask you to stand. The church in Acts was praying bold prayers. And I'm a believer that our posture affects our prayer. So I'm going to ask you to do something bold that's really out of a lot of your comfort zones. But the Bible says to lift holy hands in prayer. And I want to ask you, if you will, this morning to lift holy hand in prayer as we pray to Jesus for boldness. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. We are your church. And we are so thankful that you have saved us and you have washed away our sins and you have brought us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Thank you that you know us and you love us, even in our imperfection. And thank you that you give us your righteousness and your power and your strength. Thank you for being who you are and doing what you did. And I pray that our eyes would be fixed on you. And I pray that you would give this church unity and love for each other. And that we would live at peace with each other. And as we pursue you and we look for the door that you will open, I pray that there would never be a murmur of discontent, a murmur of dissent that would be allowed to take root among us. And that we would share a focus of becoming light for Jesus in the world. And as a church, we boldly pray that you would direct us and you would guide us as we seek Jesus, and that when we see him, we will see the door or the doors that he is opening for this church. And we pray for boldness, that we will be faithful, that we will keep your word, and we would never deny your name. Give us the faithfulness and the courage to walk through the doors that Jesus is opening, no matter how difficult or challenging or uncomfortable. Father, I pray that your kingdom would grow and expand, that more and more and more would be saved, and that you would use us to reach the lost in our city. And we pray that we would be a church that's on your mission, doing what we could and saying what we should. And I pray for every individual, every person here, that they would see and follow Jesus. And so we boldly pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If Satan held the keys, then every door would lead to hell. But because Jesus holds the key this morning, there is a door to heaven that's open for you. And so I don't want us to leave here this morning without offering an invitation to someone in this room to follow Jesus and walk through the open door that he has for you that leads to salvation. Kevin and Debbie are going to be down here in room 6. I'm going to be up here. Don't let today pass by and miss Jesus' open door. So think about that. Respond to that as we sing a great song that reminds us of how great our God is. The splendor of